You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
All right, this is the mayor of the airways. How you doing, folks? And today I have Brandon Showalter. He's with the Christian Post, calling in from Washington, D.C. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Rhett. Good to join you today.
Okay, now I can see you. It's nice to see you. And you'll notice that the other fellow is Pastor John Robbins, and he's a pastor of an Anglican church, very successful one in Vero Beach, Florida. And I invited him in because this is a very important subject about the pedophilia. And you have a national podcast, as well as, of course, you're a reporter for this very successful Christian newspaper out of Washington. Tell us just a wee bit about yourself, if you would.
Well, yes, my name, as I said, is Brandon Showalter, and I've been a journalist with the Christian Post since the summer of 2016. And since the fall of 2022, I've been the co-producer and host of our documentary podcast series called Generation Indoctrination: Inside the Transgender Battle. And we are currently in the middle of releasing our fifth season, and we've won a few awards from the Evangelical Press Association for this series. And so it documents in granular detail what's been going on in the gender ideology space. As many people know, that was quite an issue that animated the past election, but even in recent years before that, that really sort of entered the public consciousness with a lot of fervor. But we have been reporting on it ever since I joined the team here in 2016. That was kind of the first rabbit hole I fell down. But before anybody was really aware of what was going on in these dark corners of the world and in hospitals, and what had been going on very stealthily in the shadows for many years was finally uncovered. And we were part of the few publications in this country that was doing that original shoe leather reporting, exposing what was going on across the board, especially in the medical arena, but really across all of society. And so sure. I dug in on that.
Sure. I was talking to Doolin Dalton, who's our engineer. Good morning, Doolin. You can't see him, folks, but he's behind the scenes is producing this. He used the word disturbing. And I went, oh, man, what an apropos a word, what an appropriate word, because that's how I felt last night listening to your podcast. I found it, frankly, overwhelming. Let's introduce Pastor John Robbins. Good morning, Pastor John Robbins.
Good morning, Rhett. Good morning, Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in at the last minute to co-host this with me. I figure John probably has more experience in this area than I do. Also, Pastor John is the father, I believe, of two boys and one girl, or is it two girls and one boy?
Yeah, two girls and one boy. Our son is a pastor, and our two girls are very strongly active and working in ministry.
Wonderful. All right, so really the ball's in your court, Brandon. Where should we start?
Well, I would encourage everyone to give our documentary podcast a listen, particularly the episode that we just released.
Yes.
On Friday. And I am happy to explore a few elements of that story, because it's not a story that has gotten near enough attention, though it has been reported in a few outlets, especially since last July.
Okay, listen. Tell how can people find that? Doolin's in the other room, I know, but he could maybe write something up for you and put that on the screen, either under you or between all of us, so it's constantly there how people can find this very important podcast of yours.
Our landing page at the Christian Post for the podcast is generationindoctrination.com. But you can also access the documentary podcast where you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple iTunes, you know, all the major platforms should have it. It's riveting listening, if I do say so myself. But particularly this latest episode is an especially important story in light of the outsized role that the state of Alabama has played in bringing about the reckoning that we are now seeing over these issues. Alabama was the second state in the country to prohibit legally the chemical and surgical mutilation and sterilization of children in the transgender space. And that their state actually went so far as to add criminal penalties to the doctors who do those things to children. But as a result of their law, the Biden administration sued the state of Alabama. And what makes this story unique is that Alabama stands out in that its attorney general's office did some of the most important legal work and investigations into what was going on here that it was really it really caused the jaws of so many people in our in my world to just drop because of what they were able to find.
You want to believe it's not true. This very disturbing last night, and it's like, oh my word, you know, in the book of Genesis, as you know, it says God repented of having made man. And when I listened to this, I found it so down to the bone. It was like, I'm just overwhelmed that this is actually going on. And where does this pedophilia see it? Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of light and darkness.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just can't imagine somebody, how would somebody ever, I don't know how this all goes down, this evil that seems to occupy, it's like almost like demonic possession.
Yeah, I've had a number of people who are not even Christians as I've been working in this space reach out to me and say, you know, I'm not even sure I believe in God, but I think I believe in demons now because of the depravity they've seen with children being sterilized and teenagers having their body parts amputated, literally, and just the havoc that this wreaks on families causes a lot of people to revisit what they believe about good and evil. But I'll say, you mentioned pedophilia. There is context to that, and I'm happy to share a few bits. But the state of Alabama, here's just the basic background. Like I said, they passed a law in 2022. They were the second state in the nation to do so. It was very strong, added criminal penalties to doctors who do these awful things to children. A lot of us wondered if that criminal penalty that they added would it withstand judicial scrutiny, because, you know, laws like this are going to be contested in the courts. Well, believe it or not, it actually did withstand the court challenge, and the 11th Circuit of the Court of Appeals did uphold Alabama's law. But as I mentioned, the Biden administration did sue the state of Alabama, and during the discovery process, the Attorney General of Alabama and his team found that the main advocacy organization that styles itself as a medical group, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, that their guidelines, that was the target, because those guidelines have been co-opted into all the other mainstream medical organizations, and judges were being convinced that, well, this is just clinical best practice. The Attorney General's office rightly discerned that those guidelines were just junk science, and so they really went after that. And they found out that in the drafting of the 8th version of these guidelines from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH, that it was all political, that the people that were putting together these guidelines just, they wanted to win lawsuits, they wanted to affect policy, they really weren't looking out for the best interests and the health of children who may have been traumatized and were thus confused about their bodies. That was exposed in emails, and it was also exposed that Richard Rachel Levine, the number two guy at the Health and Human Services Department, a man who claims to be a woman, also urged that WPATH not include age limits for any of these transgender medical procedures. So he was actually arguing for allowing the guidelines to do this for children with no age restrictions. That came out the last week of June. And on June 27th, this was last year, June 27th, that was the day people will remember that President Biden fell apart in the debate, which ultimately led to his exit from the presidential race. Well, that morning, the Biden administration put out a statement for the first time in the entire presidency that said that they don't support gender surgeries like the amputation of genitals or breasts on children. That was the first time they had made any criticism of anything transgender. They were the most pro-trans, pro-LGBTQ presidency in memory.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Remember what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, so I'm befuddled that people can do what they do and all this stuff. And I remember seeing this young lady recently. She's on TV crying. And she said, I was confused about my gender.
Yeah.
Now they've taken off her little young breasts.
Yeah.
She's now maybe 19 or 20.
Yeah.
Her life, as she feels, is ruined. Now, and secondly, you know, I remember seeing President Biden on TV, and he was always petting the children. Remember before that went down, before he was accused?
Yeah.
And nicely. And I think maybe I'm thinking, you know, because I was saying, oh, it's so grandfatherly, loving. But you know what? If you had a child and you were standing in front of me for a group photo, as we caught Biden, if I started to, you know, I could see touching my own granddaughter or someone who's close to me. But let's say you're there and I start to whisper in her ear and rub her hair. It just was over the top. It seems like, yeah. You know what I mean? And so in other words, what I'm thinking of, let's say Biden's one of these people. Okay. He may not be, but let's say he is. So they actually don't see the evil in it. They actually think that they're, I guess, kind and loving people. They're so deluded or blinded by the devil himself.
Well, I think the important thing, aside from anything about Biden's interactions with those young people, the important thing to understand about the current left-wing Democratic mind is that they see all of these transgender issues through the lens of civil rights. So it's sort of psychologically in the same vein of Martin Luther King and, you know, the Selma Bridge, people who cross the bridge, the lunch counters, the sit-ins, the freedom riders. That's how they think about this, because they are on this progressive arc of ever-increasing civil rights victories. That's kind of the track they're walking on, and so they can't break out of that. That's sort of the single prism, as Christopher Rupo put it, through which they're looking at this.
You know, at the same time, I've been watching. I'm in the throes of being addicted right now to the new Abraham Lincoln documentary, PBS. It's available on Netflix. I almost didn't watch it because I've seen so many motion pictures on Lincoln. I thought, oh, this is another one. I have to say this. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's so much superior to what Spielberg did.
Yeah,
this is so well executed. Well, I feel that just like he was fighting real evil, I feel that, you know, guys like you are like, this is like civil war among humanity and non-humanity.
It's pretty brutal. And I'll just continue. I mean, just to underscore the point I was making, even during the recent court oral arguments for U.S. versus Scrimeti, which, as you know, probably Rhett, was Tennessee's law that was being contested at the U.S. Supreme Court that had banned puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries on children in Tennessee. This was in December when oral arguments were given, and then in June.
What is a puberty blocker? What is that?
The puberty blockers are drugs like Lupron or Triptorelin that halt the natural pubertal processes in children that they use sometimes for precocious puberty, a medical condition, but they use it in gender-confused children in order to halt the development of their bodies so that they can then drug them further to make them look like the opposite.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.